today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio podcast. I believe this is number 235. I hope I don't screw that up. But we're going to be talking about a release on Code Pen that has to do with social everything, fundamental social feature of all social websites. Although I guess we're doing it like 7 years later. So weird timing us. But it has to do with blocking another user. And all that entails, which is like weird and complicated and vital. And with me to talk about it is Claire. Hey, Claire.
Hey.
Hey. So yeah, it's like out now, right? At least like V1 of this concept.
Yeah, we released it last week. So it's all out now. So if you need to block anybody, you can now.
Yeah. You know what? Not a huge problem on CodePen overall.
Hopefully not.
But why did we bother? Was it reactionary? Or?
No, it was actually more of a precautionary thing. And we just wanted to be really responsible in the work that we were doing. And we knew that we were going to release things in the future that had to do with increasing the visibility of comments on things. Or we were thinking about all these projects that are upcoming and what those things could entail with user interaction. And we just decided we wanted to be responsible. So let's implement blocking first.
Yeah, first is a good way to put it, right? Like we're like looking at upcoming releases and be like, because the social stuff on CodePen is so fun. And we have so many more ideas for that and ways to like, you know, expand the socialness of CodePen. I probably have mentioned it on this podcast before, but it's so funny how like, I love looking at like followers and following and stuff. That's something that every social platform exposes to some degree. And I don't really have a particular problem with that. It's interesting to like discuss the nuances of social media metrics and the good and bad and stuff. But it's mostly been a positive thing around CodePen and, you know, people celebrating how many followers they have and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, this is weird to say, but like almost a little meaningless on CodePen. Like it's just a number. You don't get a heck of a lot for following certain people, which is kind of a bummer. Like you followed them for a reason. Wouldn't it be nice to see more of their content or keep in touch with them some way or have that be valuable in some way? And so it's not like you get nothing. In the sidebar, you can click the following tab and then check in on all the people that you're following and see what they're building and stuff. And that's kind of it. And so anyway,
yeah,
it's going to get better.
It really is. That's it. I'm following like two people right now. And I should be following more people.
And so is it because you're disincentivized to do it? Because it just it's.
Oh, yeah. Matter. I mean, for I guess me and a lot of people, the majority of the way that you get new and interesting content is picked pens and seeing stuff on Twitter, and that's about it. So I think it would just, right. Like, I want to say back in March or April, I interviewed a lot of people on the things that they felt make good front-end communities, and one of the things that they mentioned was, like, having better social interactions, things that were like much more personalized than just small tweets or things like that. And they mentioned like Slack communities, small Slack communities were really great. And I just wanted for our future releases to kind of take the essence of all of that and integrate it into CodePen. So that's sort of like a future look into following.
Yeah, right. So we're like taking a look at that and thinking of like how important that is to us and how much we would love it to be better. I mean, even just simple stuff we have talked about forever on CodePen. Wouldn't it be nice if like, and this would be like opt-in or whatever, like you could get an email that was like all the most interesting stuff happening on CodePen, totally personalized to people that you've chosen to follow and like activity on CodePen. Just like if case you haven't checked in, like, you know, just look at the email. It's like a little newspaper just for you of like the most interesting stuff. I think that would be great. And I've always, you know, what I've always likened it to is like, I used to be, you know, back when Flickr was cool and maybe it's still cool. So I'm sorry if that's weird, but it's like the world like moved on from Flickr in a weird way. Like we didn't need it for cloud storage so much anymore.
In some ways, unfortunately.
Yeah. Even though it's still cool, but you know, whatever. Sorry, Flickr. I just need my photos in the cloud. I don't really need the social aspects of them. But if you were like a social photographer, and I'm sure there's plenty of people like that, whatever, when we all had it on there, I used to love the Flickr weekly email because it was like some fascinating photos and activity on my photos and what my friends uploaded and stuff. They always had like a really nice weekly roundup email. I always wish we had that. So anyway, maybe we'll get there. I'm not promising anything, but like, we have a million ideas to make social way, way, way better on CodePen, and the team, including you and your research and, you know, and kind of like, especially the women on the team are like, we should like be careful about this.
You know? I mean, that's one of the things that makes Twitter sometimes very, very toxic is that it's hard to not interact with people or just not flat out see all of their stuff. And then you get into weird situations or just like have weird DMs. So
yeah, see, I don't want that. And so we'd be, if we were going to like put DMs on CodePen, which I wouldn't rule out forever because some kind of basic chat is like not particularly difficult communicate or technology to build and, you know, unlock some community potential in interesting ways. No way are we just going to slap it out on the site. Like,
right,
that's
exactly
the most irresponsible thing in the world you could do these days, allow people to talk to each other in that way. But anyway, that's not, you know, we're talking about other things. Like, as we expand and just do anything at all with improving social stuff on CodePen, we should probably have the foundations of being able to, like, take care of bad interactions just in case.
Yeah, a lot of that is just handing over power to all of the code penners out there and giving them all the power to control their own decisions and who they interact with and who can interact with them.
Yeah, right? Heck yeah. I'm sure it's implemented better or worse on some sites, but it's a pretty darn common feature to have to just be able to look at any particular user and just be like, nope, I block you. I like how you put that. You know, you're giving the power to them in a way. So again, technologically, not super duper duper particularly complicated. It has some complications, but in the grand scheme of things that we've built that CodePen, not that bad.
Yeah, I think we were able to do this in about a week and a half. So it wasn't too bad with our small team, obviously.
Yeah, because it, you know, UI-wise, a little bit. You got to have a menu. You got to block. It's got to do some a handful of things. You got to be able to like see who you've blocked and be able to unblock them. And then you got to like UI wise think about what is it like to look at different like types of content and situations as the blocker and the blocky. So I'd say UI was half it or more of the job.
It was UI itself was fairly straightforward. Like there wasn't anything. We didn't want to do anything clever because, like, why implement anything clever design-wise into a blocking feature? You want that to be, if you want to block somebody, you want that to be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're blocked, then, like, you shouldn't see anything fun anyway.
No, yeah, that's not the time and place for that kind of thing. So it's very straightforward. It's just like, block user? Okay, they're blocked. and that's about it. So it's like, but there's so much to think about here. I'm trying to actually go the opposite direction and say like, this wasn't that easy. Sure, it didn't take us that long to do, but it required a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
A lot of planning to get right. Because it's complicated to think about.
We did have to do a ton of planning on this.
And that like, what is it like experience-wise in both directions is so weird to think about. You're always thinking about the blocker and the blocking. And then code-wise, it manifests in complicated ways too. So there's the UI stuff. And then there was a bunch of front-end work about, you know, what is it? I don't know. What do the functions do? How does it shoot the data around? You know, like how do we query for it and use that, you know if we're in a block situation upfront or not. For example, we wouldn't want to like load the entire pen and then find out asynchronously that it's blocked and then hide it or something. So you saw it and then that's no good. We need to like architecturally think about it in a deeper way. And then of course there's backend work too. That's just like, we need database tables. They need to be queryable. They need to make its way into our APIs and sprinkle themselves out kind of correctly. So what was the planning like?
Well, we had to figure out what we were going to do for this release. Obviously, this is the first generation of blocking, so we just wanted to get it out there so that people had this ability to use. And one of the things that we've been doing recently on our team at CodePen is trying to break a larger project into much smaller projects so that we can get things out faster to people. So for this project in particular, we just did a blocking feature. We had talked about earlier being able to block, being able to block and then like not see anything at all on the website from this other person, because right now you block that person, they cannot interact with any of your any of the things that you create on CodePen.
That's probably the most important aspect, isn't it? Like they can't interact with you, but it's not that you don't like see them.
Yes, because you'll still see some of their stuff if it pops up in like our picked pens and the popular feed.
Sure, and maybe like there's a world in which that we should remove that from your view too, but that's just, it's a different, weirder, harder problem based on our own internal.
There's so many like nuanced views of how does this thing actually work that's not simply, I'm going to block this person and that's it. We also talked about muting. So muting is kind of like what we were just talking about with like not seeing anyone's things on CodePen. And in a future project, maybe if we implement this muting feature, we can transfer some of those things over to the blocking feature as well. So those are all of those things that we broke apart.
So there is no muting right now, but there's blocking, you know, and it's mostly about them not doing stuff for you. And there's even a micro release after this in which that we're like, well, you know, blocking is such a singular action. It's like, it's a very meaningful thing. And we try, and we even do a modal before it happens to make darn sure that you want to do that. It wasn't an accidental click or something like that. And there may be some destructive qualities to it in that, like, you know, you're blocking somebody because you're done with them in a way. So there's going to be some data destruction that happens in that if you've liked any of their pens, that's going to go away. If they've liked your pens, that goes away. And some kind of bi-directional stuff that we, you know, took a while to think about and figure out how all that's going to work. And then even trickier, complicated stuff. Well, they can't take any actions on your stuff anymore, except for just a handful. Like if you blocked them, they should be able to, on their side, like remove one of your pens from their collection if they want to. And they can't add any of your pens to collections anymore because you've blocked them now. So that's like an action that's prevented. But it should allow them to remove your pen from their collection if you want. And there, that's tricky. Like maybe we should automatically do that. I don't know. That might be some future release. These things need to evolve. But hey, at least we shipped the basics and the hardiest stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of this is just thinking about what's existing on CodePen right now and how all of those features could be used in a harmful or semi-harmful way, and just being able to do our part to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those most important bits are there. And so this kind of, you know, it's went into our new, we have this, you know, a little bit of a new project planning kind of structure at CodePen where we have these like really specific docs for the releases. And then there's different stages to the docs where we, you know, all go through them together and agree about what's going to happen. So there's no, you know, I feel like that's a potential misstep of a team is to like have moved far along on a feature and have everyone not kind of like understand where that is at and have not like kind of had their say in what's happening there.
Yeah.
And if all of a sudden you're like about to release a feature and somebody on your team is like, wait, what?
I didn't agree to how this feature works. This is terrible. Why would you agree to this? It allows everybody to do these harmful things. Yeah.
And some of the really early stages are like, is this good for users at all?
Right.
Like we all agree that this is like, we're doing this for the users, right? And just because we have to, because we're a business on Earth, it has to be good for CodePen too. You know, it's not like we have like, you know, like we're not like a board of directors we're trying to please or like stock prices we're trying to push up, but we still need to be responsible about business. So it has to pass muster there.
Right. But like one of those things is that we want CodePen to be a friendly, accessible place for people to go to do their code and learn how to code. And if it's not that place anymore, then that's not good for CodePen or anybody else.
No, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's quite abstract, right? We've had these things be at odds before where it's like obviously good for business and questionably good for users, the and or not good for users in a case. for sometimes advertising is in that bucket where like we do a little bit of it on CodePen and it's good for us business wise and we don't do anything gross, I hope, but it's not, there's no user value there. There's no users knocking on our door to have more advertising. So sometimes that just wins because it wins. And sometimes things are like have no business value at all. Or it's abstract, like in the, this isn't the perfect example of that, because I think there actually is business value in having blocking, but sometimes there's things that have pretty limited business success, but really high user success. That was clear. You know, maybe the trash can was in that bucket, right? Where like, right. It's not a paid feature. It's just users run into it all the time. They need it. So
it was the number one asked for feature and we did it.
Not as many people asking for blocking, but this is preventative for us and just doing the right thing by a community project. This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you in part by Flywheel. Their URL is getflywheel.com, and it's WordPress hosting. And in fact, the CodePen blog and this podcast and documentation and store and all that stuff is hosted on Flywheel because we love it. And everything else I do, like CSS Tricks and Chop Talk Show and the other things I'm involved with, I have a whole bunch of WordPress sites. Literally 100% of my WordPress sites I have moved over to Flywheel because I like them so much. And in fact, if the moving is what scares you, they just do it for you. And they're really good at it. And they moved all my sites for me. You know, we talked it out and strategized it and stuff, but they're great at that, which is cool. And it's just really classy software and really good hosting that just does what it needs to do. There's so many little touches that I just like. You know, one of them that just comes to mind is, and this is so weird and silly and small, but it's just like little things like this are important to me, that the SFTP access and credentials and the way that it's structured and set up is just so simple. It's just like your password for Flywheel is what gets you in. And there's a very nice, simple URL that's like sftp.flywheelsites, whatever. I mean, just look it up in the docs. And you log in and then there's a folder with your user in there. And then your sites are in your username folder and they're all nicely structured. And it's all just so simple. You know, it's not like you have to, I don't know, provision credentials for the thing and then it's weird and it's hard to log in and it's just such a small little thing like how they've organized the SFTP access, but it, because it's so clean, it just ends up just feeling good and nice, you know, especially during the time while you're transitioning and moving, if that's what you're going to do. But there's, you know, dozens of things that I like about Flywheel. I hope you like them too, and thanks for the support. So we planned it all out, and I think naturally it kind of broke itself into two sections. It was like, what is it like for people doing the blocking? What do they see? And it turned out, I think that percolated its way all the way through your designs in Figma.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what is it like for the blockee when you are blocked? What is that experience like? And it was tricky.
Yeah, there were a lot of weird edge cases that. Weird edge case scenarios that we had to think of and questions like, well, in this situation, if somebody does this thing, then what happens?
Yeah, exactly. And there's got to be UI for it and copy for it, and it's got to express itself through APIs and all that stuff. Code-wise, boy, did it get me confused some days. You know, the terminology in code isn't blocker and blockee. That's not useful.
No,
in code.
That
it's
would be like, so confusing.
It's like blocked by session user or owner session user blocked by owner session block. Ooh, boo, boo. There's owners and there's item owners and there's session users who are the people that are logged in. And then there's teams and not teams. And that confuses things too. So anyway, we had to like invent some terminology for this and expose it in the right places that kind of made it make sense. And, That was tricky all to itself. You know, they say naming things is hard in computer science. It sure is. In this kind of case, getting this wrong would have made it way harder to build.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and it even affected our queries in weird ways that we had to like where we put them in our API had to be in a certain place for it to re-render things properly. It was weird. Although a week and a half, not the worst project in the world. You know, like we were able to overcome that stuff pretty well. And I hope that's because we're all on it at the same time. We're all talking and we're all agreeing on documents. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of that has to do with all of us having meetings on these things and being on the same page and agreeing what the functionality was beforehand and just having that be really solid. I think another part of that mm-hmm. was all the projects that have led up to this have allowed us to do things much quicker, like reactifying all of our grids helped in this as well.
Yeah, that was a big deal. You know, that there's like kind of one place to deal with certain things in React now. You know, the fact that we're kind of re-architecting so much has been really useful. When I talk about all this API stuff, I'm largely talking about how it expresses itself in GraphQL. And these components are largely reusable React components that use the same, you know, hooks and mutations and things to push this data around. It's like architecturally feels a lot smoother. And then it's like there's a few sections of the site that are still not React. So it's like, do we bother? And in some cases, sometimes the answer is no, that like that part of the site just isn't ready for this yet. And we could, there's a fork in the road. Do you do nothing or do you reactify it as part of the release so that it's ready for it? Or do you just know that it's on the roadmap to reactify that area and those fixes will come along for the ride, you know? And there's never a clear choice. Sometimes it's any one of those three choices.
Yeah.
In this case, we weren't blocking in grids anyway. So it's like, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, I think we even got that from Dribbble. I think you can, they're blocking. It doesn't work exactly like on Dribbble, but they have a pretty light, I'd say, blocking feature on Dribbble.
Yeah, theirs is pretty similar, and we looked at it when we were deciding the functionality of this too. And in theirs as well, you will still see items or Dribbble posts that people make in their popular feed on their homepage, but any sort of interaction they also don't have.
Right. Like, if it was a site like Twitter, there's no doubt that you have to remove that stuff. That's the whole point of blocking on Twitter, that you don't see their crap anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Although I'm not sure how well it works on Twitter, because it's like the way to not see their crap is to unfollow them, which automatically happens.
Right.
But it hasn't retweets for a long time. It was exempt from light. I wonder if they've fixed that. Like if somebody retweeted somebody that you blocked, you saw it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably have.
So, I mean, theirs has also been evolving and has taken many years to get to where it is now, and it's still not perfect. So,
yeah, we don't have as dangerous of problems, but
hopefully not.
You know, maybe if we got to the scale of Twitter, we'll have a whole unique set of new problems.
Right.
Anyway, so we, you know, it went through the document, it got designed, it got built, and it got shipped. So this is just the 1.0 release. And like I mentioned, that second release is going to be that kind of a more destructive actions that are going to go with it, that we decided were a good idea, but required a little database shenanigans that, you know, we thought, hey, might as well break up the release. And like
right.
Claire was saying, little slices of releases have been very good to us. So
roll with that. In addition to us being able to give it to users faster, it just helps us test things much more to make sure that we didn't break everything, because we are a small team. So it's like really hard to track those things.
Oh, we break crap all the time.
We really do.
My gosh. Let's break little stuff. Great.
Sometimes the little stuff does break large things, but
yeah. We're in this weird state too, where we invested all this this integration testing stuff, which for a while was like really good and preventing some stuff, and it is in a weird state right now. So we've had some recent successes on bringing it back, but believe it or not, we don't have like a really strong active set of integration tests that we still do them, but they don't block releases like a lot of companies have, like as part of their continuous integration CI stuff. And that's that needs to come back. That's going to save our breath going forward.
Although
we'd have a test that we could write that would be like, you know, log in as Claire, block Chris, look at this piece of content. Does it look blocked? That kind of stuff is just awesome.
And now it's basically all of us just doing that by hand.
Yeah, right. Or we can still write the tests and run them locally. Yeah, yeah. They're just not as reliable as we need to be for CI. I don't know. That'd be a whole topic someday. Like, what's with integration testing? Why does it suck? Why is it so non-deterministic? Anyway. It's a whole thing for another day. Let's see. So yeah, I mean, I guess there's not that much to say about it. I mean, there was one little mini feature, which is you open a little menu to open the blocking, mm-hmm. and this menu is now functionally and visually identical to the menus on grid items.
Yeah.
But this menu, like, it's the three dots, the kebab. We're kebabbing it.
Yeah, I think that was like, that's been something that I've been trying to do in all of our projects, is just bring greater consistency to the way that we implement interactions. So this was definitely an area where I looked at it and was like, oh, all right, this seems similar to other actions that you could take on pens or poster collections or.
Yeah, they're like secondary actions. And it's nice that the menu is so clearly the same. And one cool thing about, so the menu is, I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing here, but like, let's say you're looking at somebody's profile. That's where you do the blocking from. You don't do it from grids. If you want to block somebody, you go to their profile. It's like you're looking them in the eyes almost, and then click block. And so one of the things that the menu allows us to do is like, it's there. It's not hard to find. It's just like everywhere else on the site, but you don't have to look at the word block user yeah. on every single profile on the thing. It's like one level buried beneath it, which kind of like feels good to me, at least. I don't know if that's
right. It's not like we're promoting blocking as an interaction you should take, but it's there if you need it.
Yep. And so it would be a little weird to have a kebab menu with one thing in it, although we've done that plenty of times.
But this one actually has two things in it.
It's got two things, and one of them is report the user instead.
Yes.
Like if they're doing, like you may want to do both, but anyway.
We decided to go one step further than just blocking. If somebody is being problematic to everyone, then you can yeah. use report and it'll go to support
yeah.
and we'll take care of it.
And it just, it's a form and you say why and we look and stuff. And there's been a few of those already that have been interesting anyway. It's spam is what mm-hmm. happens, or like a misunderstanding of what forks are, which is yet another weird thing on CodePen. What was I going to say about that? So yeah. So, and then there, I don't think we actually got to this yet, but there can be admin screens as well. Like, shouldn't we
yeah.
be aware if a whole bunch of people block all the same users like in a day kind of thing? Like, that would be interesting to know. Like, maybe they're. Maybe we should at least look. That requires a human touch to be like, whoa, 10 people blocked this person today. What is happening here? You know?
Yeah. At first that was going to be a part of this release. And I think that's now a separate release to do the admin screen for that, which,
hey, we got the data.
Yeah. So. I think that's smart to do because reporting somebody feels like very, very specific thing to do. Like, ooh, I'm going to report you. So, and then you have to fill out the form, which might be a barrier to actually reporting somebody. So, I mean, we only know about these things if people write into support. So this is another avenue to actually know about these
so
things.
So that's the kebab there. Feels good. That's so nice in React, right? We're like,
yeah.
Action menu, done. Oh, God. Design pattern. I mean, I hope it's satisfying to you to be able to, like, you have these reusable
yeah.
components on the front end that just... You just reuse them, and then the design is consistent. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm happy about making things more consistent. Hopefully you never need to get to use it, and CodePen will still be a friendly place, but it's there if you need it.
Yeah, there if you need it. And this podcast will probably mimic more of our small little slices of releases, just because I think timing-wise that makes sense. All right, everybody, bye-bye.
Bye.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.